Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. This morning we turn our attention back to our second lesson, those words taken from Galatians chapter 5. And as you think back to what we read and you see that picture that the apostle uses, if you've ever been in a marching band or have ever been in the military, you understand the picture. He's talking about walking in step. Even if you've never been in a marching band, or perhaps not in the military, if you've ever been in a parade, you get the picture, too, of watching people walking in step. And in some ways, it's kind of impressive. It's impressive when you've got all those people, straight line, both directions, perfectly in step with each other, too. If just one is out of step, at best, I suppose you and I might think, well, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. And at worst, he might start confusing other people who are around him, and then more get out of step, and the whole thing falls apart. So you understand the picture. The Apostle Paul is reminding you and me, as you and I think today about the fact that we want to be the neighbors who go looking for the neighbors rather than trying to hide from the neighbors. He's talking about who are you in step with. You've got two choices because you and I have two parts to us. Whether we like to admit it or not, we deal with it every single day. He reminds us that there is that old sinful flesh, and then there is that new spirit. There's the old Adam, who would just as soon be in step with the old ways of doing things. And then there is that new life of faith, the new Adam, we sometimes call it, that loves to be in step with God. And those two are constantly fighting each other. He told us that in the middle of the lesson. Those two are opposed to each other. Whatever the spirit wants, the flesh wants nothing to do with. Whatever the flesh wants, the spirit wants nothing to do with. And so the battle ensues. So who are you going to follow? Whose steps are you going to trace? Who are we going to be in step with? Watch where you're stepping. Watch where you're stepping because the flesh desires, the flesh acts one way, but the spirit desires another way. So watch where you're stepping. Verse 13, I suppose, is a pretty good summary of the entire lesson. After all, brothers, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Freedom. The moment the sinful flesh hears that word, it sees an opportunity. The moment the sinful flesh hears that word freedom, it sees a starting point to do whatever it is that it wants to do, to see things the way it wants to see them. And that sinful flesh starts now to think about different ways to gratify itself, meet its needs, do what it wants, feel what it wants, go where it wants. It's all self-focused. It's all inward-looking. And it uses that freedom as the opportunity, as a starting point to live for itself. Later on in our lesson, the Apostle Paul listed a number of things that the spirit, that the flesh loves to use as its starting point. Here's the occasions that it sees for itself. Now, the works of the sinful flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, complete lack of restraint, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, orgies. Pretty obvious. Even shines out at times. Works that are flaunted, actions that are portrayed for everybody else to see. The sinful flesh wants to take its freedom and wants to let you know that I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do. I want you to know that I'm going to say whatever it is that I want to say. Those works are obvious. And it's quite a list. As you and I work our way through that list, we probably become more and more distraught. We are more and more trotted down because you take a look at that list and almost every commandment is taken care of. Especially the ones that are summarized by love your neighbor as yourself. But you've got first commandment issues, idolatry, By the way, an idol is not something you look up to. An idol is not something that you aspire to be like. An idol is something that takes God's place. You've got Second Commandment issues, sorcery. The idea behind that word is using some drugs or something. There are things like that going on and still are. And then you've got all the rest of the commandments. You think about the drunkenness and the orgies and the dissension and the sexual sins and the lack of restraint and all of those things that go on, all of which are often self-focused but end up affecting all of those who are around us. Quite a list. And just in case, which is probably not likely, but just in case, Paul says, we missed one of the sins that are bothering you, he ends the list with, and things similar to these. There are more obvious sins. There are more obvious things that the flesh loves to do. Watch where you are stepping. The flesh acts one way. And we could go on listing thing after thing and thought after thought and action after action that proves that the sinful flesh wants to walk in step with its sinful selfishness. And with that list comes quite the consequence. Paul says, I warned you before, I'm going to warn you again. Remember, that sinful self is something that we're carrying with us every step of the way, and so we constantly need the warning to watch where you're stepping. We constantly need that warning to be reminded of what the sinful flesh wants to do. And so he says, I warned you about this before, I'm going to warn you again, and we'll probably have to be warned again somewhere along the line, and it is a serious consequence. Those who continue to do these things, those who are practicing these things, you've heard the statement, right? Practice makes perfect. Stop practicing. We're good enough at sin. We don't need to practice it anymore. We don't need to get better at it. Paul says, stop practicing it. Stop getting better at it. Watch where you're stepping. Realize what the flesh wants to do, because if you don't, and if you keep on practicing, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. A disquieting list and an even more disquieting consequence. Watch where you're stepping. Understand that the flesh acts one way. We need that warning because you and I understand that there are all kinds of temptations to start going in step with the Spirit. It's all around us. We've got plenty of examples to walk along with and plenty of examples to step along with. Everybody else is doing it. We probably said somewhere along the way, how come I can't? What do you mean I can't do my job this way? The guy down the hall just did it. I saw him do it 3 weeks ago. He didn't get into trouble. Why are you talking to me? Why can't I do it that way? What are you talking to me about attending worship for? There's all kinds of people who aren't there. Why are you picking on me? All kinds of examples that you and I can come up with where we tend to want to walk in step with the Spirit. Because, after all, we are free. That's the key term in this whole section. Freedom. We think we know what freedom is. We just got done celebrating it. We just celebrated our freedom last weekend. And rightfully so. We just got done rejoicing in the freedom that you and I have in this particular nation in which we live. We rejoiced in the freedom that we have, that we are able to go where we want to go. We get to do the job that we want to do. We get to live where we want to live. We can get whatever education we want. We rejoice in that amazing freedom that you and I have. The freedom to say what's on our mind. The freedom to share those opinions back and forth. The freedom to do this. To come, gather, praise, and proclaim. But you probably also understand how freedom tends to cut two directions. I found it interesting in a definition of this Greek word for freedom. The author was talking about how freedom was used back in Greece in the days of the Apostle Paul. And that freedom in that Greek polity was this idea that you can reach your own potential. That you are at your own disposal so that you can follow your dreams and reach your potential and do the best that you can. That's often a blessing to everybody around us. If you and I are busy doing the best that we can, if we are all trying to reach our full potential and do what we're able to do, that often becomes a blessing to the community and the nation. Sadly, however, there's the downside to that. Because oftentimes when people are busy running after their own potential and trying to do the best that they can, oftentimes the individual right becomes more the focus than the needs of the others. And that doesn't always work so well. If I'm more interested in what I deserve than in what you need, I'm not going to be much of a neighbor. If I'm more keyed in on the rights that I have, I am likely to run over whatever rights you might have if I feel you are threatening me. Watch where you're stepping. How easy it is to follow those examples. How easy it is to start walking in lockstep with the way you and I tend to naturally think. Watch where you're stepping. The flesh acts one way. But there's more to you than that. As disquieting as all of this is, you and I have already reminded ourselves right away at the beginning, yes, you've got the sinful flesh. Yes, you need to watch where you're stepping. Yes, you need to understand that the flesh wants to act one way. But that's not you. That's not the people that Paul was talking to. That's not you. You have the Spirit. You have that new life of faith that was planted into your heart when your Lord and your God claimed you as His very own. Watch where you're stepping. The Spirit desires another way. Go back to verse 13 again. After all, brothers, you were called to freedom. Marvel at that. Especially in light of what we tend to think about as freedom. You didn't earn your freedom. You didn't struggle through some great conflict and win that freedom for yourself. You didn't give up something in order to deserve that freedom. You were given freedom. It was handed to you. It was credited to you. The one who had to go through the great conflict was your substitute and Savior. The one who gave up something in order to gain freedom was your Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who took all the acts of that sinful flesh on Himself. He's the one who paid for them in complete fullness. He is the one who says, yes, I know you still have your sinful flesh, but you are not controlled by it. You are not condemned by it. You have My perfection. You are viewed in My righteousness. And now just as I served you, now you get to serve one another. You and I have been called to freedom, and now we are free to serve. No longer slaves to our own sinful passions and desires. No longer slaves to walk in lockstep with sin. Now we can walk in step with the Spirit. We get to live for each other as we live with each other and as we serve each other, rejoicing together in this amazing gift of forgiveness that belongs to you and to me. Watch where you're stepping. The Spirit desires another way. You think about that idea of freedom, free to serve. And as long as we are in this world, we're going to struggle a little bit with this concept, because you and I also understand that we tend to think of freedom as something that I get to do and I want to do. And yet think about the freedom that you and I now have. The freedom that allows us to love each other, even if perhaps we're not always that lovable, even if perhaps I don't necessarily think perhaps the person has deserved it. Think about this quote from Martin Luther. He says, even though you are aroused to anger or envy against an offending brother or against someone who does something unkind to you, still resist and repress these feelings through the Spirit. Bear with his weakness and love him. In accordance with the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For your brother does not stop being your neighbor simply because he lapses or because he offends you. But that is the very time when he needs your love for him the most. Oh, the temptation is always there to bite at each other, to talk about each other, to run around and talk about the person instead of to the person. We are constantly under the temptation to destroy someone else, make them look bad, rather than trying to improve ourselves. But Paul says, if you're going to keep on biting each other, it's just like a meal. You keep on chewing it, sooner or later it's consumed. If we keep tearing each other apart, sooner or later we're consumed. No, the fact that we've got those sins and those lapses is the exact reason why we need each other to love each other even more, to build each other up, to rejoice in each other, to walk in step with each other, and rejoice that the Spirit desires another way. And so now Paul lists a number of those things. Not so much interested in the actions of the Spirit, like he was with the actions of the flesh, but he describes more the attitude. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as you think about the actions that flow out of those attitudes, I don't think any of them are hard to understand. But what you end up doing is the exact opposite of what had been described before. Watch where you're stepping. Rejoice in that love. Rejoice in the love that our Lord and our God gave to you, His kindness, His goodness, His self-control. And now we get to live in thanks and in praise to Him and with those who are around us. Will the struggle continue? As long as we're on this side of heaven, yes. But you know who won. You know which part is the real you. The Spirit has always won. The Spirit will always win. Think about what you are. You are God's redeemed child. You are washed in the waters of baptism, adopted into His family, covered in His grace and His mercy and His love, and now you are covered in His righteousness, and because of that you are saved. That's a promise He made to you. That's a commitment He made to you, and that is something He's never going to change. He tells you in His Word, we gather here Sunday after Sunday. We gather around our family altars at our kitchen tables or in our living rooms day after day, and we hear those amazing words, and we listen to what God has to say, and He builds us with His love. And if there's ever any doubt, if God cares about you, if there's ever any doubt that Jesus is still here with you, if there's ever any doubt that Jesus' love is still there, then you come right here. And He comes to you and He gives you the very body that He took upon Himself, and He gives to you the very blood that He shed for you. I'm with you. This is yours. You're mine. I have always promised to hold on to you. I have always promised to take care of you, and I'm not changing that promise. Watch where you're stepping. As we come to those means of grace, as we gather around His Word and His sacraments, that keeps us in step with Him. And we marvel at His great love, and we marvel at His mercy, and we get to live for Him with each other, marveling in that amazing gift of His love, love for us, love we get to share with the neighbor. God's blessings to you, spiritual people, saints of God, called to be His as you live for Him. Amen.